Hi friends, I just want to take a quick moment to tell you about Anchor. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or have friends who've started their own podcast, then you've probably heard your fair share of ads on Anchor. Maybe you're even a little bit skeptical like I was at first. I mean, is anything really free when you're creating a podcast? Well, let me tell you firsthand, Anchor is the way to go. Anchor FM really gives you everything you need to start a podcast. You can record directly on there or upload your files, easily edit your recordings from your phone or computer, and if you don't have anyone to produce the music for your podcast, they even give you access to music from Spotify that you can use without copyright infringement and select your own. I mean, how easy is that? Not only can you do all this, but you can upload onto all streaming services directly from Anchor. If you're hesitant about starting your podcast and all the how-to stuff, Anchor makes it 10 times easier for you with clear instructions from the get-go on how to start your podcast and even advises you on how you can make money with it. And it's free. So really, you can't lose here, and I love that for you. It's helped me in my podcast creation journey, and I know it can be the same for you. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm right now and start that journey. That's anchor.fm. Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly creator to guide you in your everyday life. If he has a plan for you, he will make a way. All he wants is our daily yes to him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in his image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Merry Christmas, everyone! For our very last episode of the 2022 year, we have three very special guests joining our podcast. Macy, Gracie, and Allie are three friends who know what it means to be joyful in spirit no matter what you face. They have the kind of joy that only enhances because of their friendship in Christ. And that's exactly what we talk about in our Christmas episode today. We talk about the joy of friendship and the scriptures they find comfort in when life's trials come their way. We even talk about some fun Christmas topics, such as Christmas traditions and favorite Christmas movie. There's a whole lot of laughter and love in this episode, so buckle up and get ready to smile until your cheeks hurt. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. There is nothing quite like the spirit of Christmas and the joy that this holiday can bring to our hearts. I truly believe that when people celebrate Christmas, whether they're a Christian or not, they are experiencing the true fullness of joy that only Christ Jesus can bring. People are just less irritable during this time, and a lot more people are trying to be more kind to one another. But unfortunately, this spirit doesn't last throughout the whole year for everyone. We can't bottle it up and sprinkle a little Christmas joy when we need it. However, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we can know for certain that this spirit of joy and comfort is attainable year-round. Here to talk about this, I brought three of my friends, Macy, Gracie, and Allie, to this special episode who, to me, exemplifies some of the most contagious joy I have seen displayed in my community. I think part of that joy they have is through their gift of friendship they have with one another as well, which is exactly what we'll be talking about on today's episode. Ladies, hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Of course. No, I'm so excited. I'm glad that we're starting it off with laughter and just, you know, enjoyment in each other's company. And before we begin, I just want to ask if you could share just a little bit more about yourselves with our audience.
Yeah, so my name's Macy Meese, and I just graduated from ISU this past May. With my elementary education degree, I am now a second grade teacher in Roanoke. And Gracie's laughing at me.
It's the face. I just love your face.
Oh, man. And so, yeah, teaching children and just trying to, you know, that first year teacher life right now. So, and Yeah, wait, did you want us to say how we know each other, too?
Yeah, no, okay. Let's go for it.
Is that fine? So, yeah, Ellie and I were roommates at ISU, and then Gracie and I were just... Everyone told me that I was Gracie.
Yes, I've been hearing of Macy long before I even met Macy. And then when I met Macy, I was like, hey, it is like looking in a mirror.
Yep.
Yes.
Best compliment.
Yep, yep, always.
I mean, for me.
For both. It goes both ways. It goes both ways.
Nice. Ellie, yeah.
Hello, I'm Ellie, and I also just graduated from Illinois State a deaf education degree.
Go Redbirds.
Yeah. And... Next week, I will be going to Jamaica for the year to join YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission, Discipleship Training School. I have a heart for seeing deaf people be reached with the gospel.
So cool.
Whoop, whoop.
Okay, and my name is Gracie Cross, and I am a senior at Illinois State right now. I am graduating in December, actually, with an Organizational and Leadership Communication degree. Basically, I will be going into the business world, but totally relational side. No numbers, please. I have an internship right now with Illinois State. Yeah, with Illinois State's alumni engagement. So it's a lot of like event planning and logistics and just all the jazz that goes into that, which I think is very fascinating. And I am recently married, so woo-hoo, yeah, woo-hoo. Gracie Cross is a new name.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we're actually recording in her apartment right now, which is like my dream apartment.
Stop it.
Oh my
very
gosh.
Falling.
Yes. Very much provided by my sweet husband, so.
Yeah, no, it's a blessing to be here. And honestly, I think people can tell already that this is, I mean, there's joy, like, just flowing, oozing out of y'all, and it's really...
Something like that.
Yeah, I honestly can't help but just smile around you guys.
Stop like, it.
I really honestly can't help it, but...
Give me a blush.
Well, before we get more into that, I kind of just want to talk about more of, like, you know, I think it's important to talk a little bit about your relationship with Jesus when we talk about joy. So could each of you just explain a little bit about how Jesus has transformed your life and why finding joy in him is so important?
Yeah. So obviously he's transformed my life in many ways. But I first became a Christian when I was around 8, and I just remember realizing, well, we had to move... Like, we moved when I was pretty young. And so, after that, it was actually kind of traumatic for my family, for whatever reason, even though I was super young. And I feel like I just felt really alone. And so, Jesus transformed my life by making me realize that I could have a forever friend. Mm-hmm. And just someone who's going to be there for me. And not just that, but also, like, wash away my sins. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, the Bible says, like, literally brought from death to life.
Mm-hmm.
So... Definitely, as I've grown in my Christian walk, I do realize how I'm dead in my sins and how my sins are terrible for me, ultimately, and that Christ breathes life into me and gives me hope and joy that just the world could never give. And so I think, yeah, being brought from death to life, and also for me, which I'll probably talk about this throughout this podcast, but... my biggest sin struggle is probably just fear of man. And just like worrying about what other people think. And so I think Jesus has really transformed me by just giving me that new identity that like I am a daughter of the King, and what people think of me doesn't matter. Or comparing myself to other people is just going to be a worthless pursuit because I'm okay in Christ. And, and so, I think that, those are some of the ways for me off the top of my head, off my notes.
So I accepted Jesus when I was 12. I grew up going to church, but didn't really understand until a little bit later what it meant to have Jesus as my savior. And then as life went on in high school, I didn't really take my faith seriously until we started fostering a little girl, and she ended up going back home 2 years after we had her, and the situation was just pretty messy, but we prayed big prayers and God answered. And that was the first time in my life that I just had a wake-up moment. I was like, what am I doing with my life? And I feel like God transformed me and made me want to follow him with my whole heart and
awesome.
Tell other people.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yes. I would also say that I had the Jesus in my heart moment when I was very little. I think I was 7. And kind of like Macy said, just the idea of having a friend in my heart. I was very much the kid that had imaginary friends. So to have Jesus
I can
here.
So see that.
Band names and everything. But to have Jesus always with me, I think that that was even just the greatest comfort for me. And then, yes, going through life, not really being shepherded, I would say, just through like various church hopping, you don't really settle. But then in high school, specifically my senior year, I started realizing, okay, next year is college. Like, what do I really think about this faith? And am I going to pursue it, like, once I graduate? And just, like, searching the scripture and what that meant to me. And then our family was just hit with some really hard trials, really deep grief that we've never really had to deal with before. And I think that that was just a confrontation moment for all of us of, okay, like, why are we praying? Who are we praying to? And I think that the Lord really came around my family in that moment, and just how we stood out against other people when these trials came. I think that that was pretty miraculous to myself, seeing like other people see something in me that I didn't see in myself.
Yeah.
And so after graduation, I actually went on a missions trip. And I think that that sparks a lot of soul searching when you're in a country that has nothing. And so, yeah, after senior year, I'd say that's when my faith really came my own. And I had a conviction of perspective taking, and I realized that in the light of eternity, the sin that is in this world is not worth chasing after. And ever since then, I've just been seeking to share that good news with other people.
Amen.
Awesome. Yeah, amen, indeed. I mentioned this earlier, but like anytime I'm around you guys, my smile is instantaneous. You know, you have this infectious, joyful spirit, literally, whether it's the three of you together or separately, every time I'm around you, I also, you know, want to share joy, or I am joyful immediately, even when like maybe I'm not, you know, earlier before I meet up with you guys. But I kind of want to ask, like, what do you think plays a part in your joyful spirit, and why is it that you can bring joy to others you come in contact with? So this is like anyone can start off, you know.
Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit. Like, because when people say that, like, I don't feel it in myself often. Like, so it's always encouraging for me to hear that, so thank you for your encouragement, but also it's a reminder that, like, yeah, it really is God working through me, because, I mean, I have terrible days just like anyone else, and so, yeah, I think what I've come to realize, too, is, like, joy, it's not, like, a feeling always. It has to be a choice, and, I mean, it's a command, actually, like, rejoice always, and pray without ceasing and all of that. And so I think, but even to be able to choose to have joy is something that God gives us the grace to do. And so it's all through him. But I love just the idea of like the freedom in Christ that we have, freedom from sin, freedom from worry and fear, and all of that. And my dad has a saying that he says, well, actually, he definitely didn't make it up, this is a saying, and just like, as Christians, as followers of Christ, like, we have nothing to lose, nothing to hide, and nothing to prove, and like, just living free, like, living kind of with, you know, with abandon, almost, because we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and so I think that is just a truth that I can cling to when I'm not feeling joyful, but that's the truth, that I do have nothing to lose and nothing to hide and nothing to prove, even though I don't live like that always, and so So I think that, and then also just, yeah, meditating on other truths, like from scripture. I mean, I could say a lot of truths, but like, 1 Peter 5:6-7 or something around there are some of my favorite verses that, are just like, it's like the humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. And then at the proper time, he will exalt you. And that's probably a paraphrase, but just like the humbling ourselves and realizing that God is on the throne, he's in control, that he's so powerful, and that he does care for us enough to take all of our worries and concerns from us. And so when I remember that, and when I stop trying to micromanage and control and like kind of organize my way out of my problems and just give them to God and cast them on him, then we can really just rest, and that's where I think true joy comes from. So,
really, I would go along with Macy and say definitely the Holy Spirit, because, like she said, we're all not joyful all the time, and we're joyful when we're together.
We feed off of each other.
It can be hard to love some people, like. And so when I find myself in those times, I pray constantly for joy. I pray constantly for patience. And I just want to encourage everyone. Like, I used to think that just happened to other people, but it's happened to me. And like, if you pray for months, for a year, you will find joy. You will find patience.
Because that's praying according to God's will. Like, and that's what scripture tells us to do. Like, if you pray according to God's will, he's gonna give that to you. And maybe with time.
With time. With time. Don't
it's
be discouraged.
It's a matter of being consistent with that. Like, even when you're even praying for the Lord to take away certain sin that you're struggling with, like, it's the same thing. Like, if you just say, like, hey, Lord, get rid of this sin for me, you expect that to happen instantaneously? Yeah. Like, no. Like, it's the same thing with the fruit of the Spirit.
It's a sanctifying process.
Exactly.
Yeah. Pray for the fruits of the Spirit.
Pray for those fruits.
It's probably one of my favorite prayers, actually. I think going off what you guys said, it's 100% the Holy Spirit, because no one used to tell me I was joyful before the Lord came into my life. And I wouldn't say like, oh, 8 years old, people tell me I was joyful, or seven. But no, like, definitely post-college is when I heard that theme a lot more. I think people used to tell me I had like a big smile, but I think that's just because I have a big mouth. Like, I don't know if it has anything to do with my smile, but... so I think there was a definite switch after I strove after the Lord every day. And I wouldn't say I succeed every day. In fact, I probably fail more often than not. But kind of like I mentioned before, I'm just very imaginative. So knowing that the Lord is in me, like John 15:1 says, it just talks about Jesus being the vine and we're the branches. And I think that that gives me a lot of peace knowing that I'm just part of it, man. Like, I'm not the main thing. And he even says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And I think that is so true when it comes to my joy. It's in me because Jesus gave it to me. I mean, I didn't produce it. I don't have the willpower, or I don't have the faith that's bigger than other people. Jesus, it's a gift, I think.
That's awesome. That is so cool. I also wanted to mention, like, another one that you're kind of reminding me of. Well, before this, we were talking about Polar Express and how this song is from Polar Express. But Psalm 62, there's a song about it that apparently sounds like this. Just to give context but, to our previous conversation. But that's another verse that, like, reminds me of just... of who God is, that we can rest in him. Like, we so often are waiting for, like, the world to satisfy us, and I think that's why we're not joyful, is because, like,
or other
broken
people.
Expectations. We want other people to satisfy us. We want, the world to satisfy us, but we're going to come up empty. We're going to be disappointed. But I love how Psalm 62 says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence," like, knowing that this world is not going to satisfy us. We're waiting on God. We're meditating on his truth and being saturated in his truth. And it says, from him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Mm-hmm. So just like rooting yourself in Christ, rooting yourself in his salvation and who he is. And that's getting to know him. That's diving into him, seeking him, pursuing him, like you were saying, in prayer and asking him for us to be more like him.
As you guys were talking, it was interesting that the Lord kind of placed something in my mind. It's like with the fruits of the Spirit, I feel like as children of God, we exemplify different characteristics of who God is, right? And we are all different. And so in thinking about that, like, I think the reason why you three, why I think of, like, joy more so than other people is just because that's kind of the gift that God wants you to be known for, to, you know, exemplify it and also to share how others can be joyful as well. I think that each person, someone who is in Christ, like, you know, I think that people have kind of come up to me and say, you have a very gentle spirit. Like, people feel comfortable around me. And that's something where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. But that's something that I think the Lord has, like, placed on my life, where it's kind of the same way of, like, when people have different leanings to certain sins, the same is true when we are in Christ, that we have different leanings to a fruit of the Spirit. Then, you know, for us, like, we're all to achieve and try to attain those fruits of the Spirit and to have that out instead of, you know, shame, guilt, and what sin can bring. But I think that some people are just better at expressing certain fruits of the Spirit.
Different parts of the body.
The
hand doesn't say to the nose, make me a... Do you know what I'm trying to reference? Yes. That's not...
I think it's 1 Corinthians 12, actually.
The hand isn't even in that passage, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12 says that.
And I even have, like, just some notes in my Bible how the fruits of the Spirit also portray different things. So, like, love, joy, and peace are, like, upward, you know, between you and the Lord. And then patience, kindness, goodness is, like, outwards towards others. So you have, like, patience with others, kindness and goodness, and then faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is inward. So I think, like, it's almost like a personality thing, like, where people are better focused. So, like, introverts, I guess, like, that's a broad term, but, like, they might be better at being gentle or self-controlled or faithful. And I think, like, we can learn from each other in that, because I guess I consider myself an extrovert. I hate to use broad terms like that, but so, like, for me, joy comes, like, super easily, but I can, like, look at someone else and be kind of, like, comparing that, oh, they just feel like they're way more self-controlled and when they talk. And I think instead of letting Satan, like,
I've never struggled with self-control.
It is just, and I think Satan uses that to tear us apart, but instead, like, looking at the beauty of how we're gifted differently, I think that that's, like, such a thing to celebrate. And so, like, I obviously, like, extrovertedness comes with just expressiveness, and that can be joyful. But I think just, like, keeping the perspective of it's a gift just turns it into joy instead of just, like, energy. you know? Because there's good energy and bad energy. I'm not naive to that.
No, definitely.
And I think, you know, the difference almost with, like, joyfulness compared to the other fruits of the Spirit is that it's attainable to have even when you're depressed or, like, you're sad or something like that.
I love that. And it's so true.
And because that's the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that, like, even when you're not happy, it doesn't mean that you're not joyful.
Totally. You know?
So, which is something that, like, I think is a good reminder for people, like, joy is attainable year-round because we have Christ in us. And that already is... it's something to celebrate and rejoice in because we're saved by the
Lord. Super profound.
Exactly, because it's linked to hope. And, like, we have hope in Jesus always. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard of the song by Ellie Holcomb, We've Got This Hope. But it's, like, it's kind of one of our older songs. But big Ellie Holcomb. Shout out. But, like, I love it because it's, like, it's talking about the trials of, like, I can't even remember what the verses are now. But the chorus is just, like, we've got this hope, like, like, amidst all of the trials of life, like, the hope stays because it's it's firm. Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, yeah, that's why we can be consistent while the world and people who trust in the promises of the world don't have any firm foundation.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I feel like you guys kind of feed off of each other. So I do.
What? Well, this is news to me.
Never before.
But do you think that friendship actually like plays a part in being able to keep the joy of the Lord like year round?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're called to be in community. Mm-hmm. I think community is so important that our church did a whole series on it. I mean, love is supposed to be genuine. That's what it says in Romans. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. And we're supposed to love each other with a brotherly affection.
Yeah.
And that is very profound. Mm-hmm. To love your friends like their family is pretty unique. And I think that that is where a lot of joy can come from. Because I could say even family can be harder to love than your church.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Both are good. Both are good.
Yeah.
My family hears this. I love you guys.
I mean, but it makes sense. Like, the closer you are to people,
yes,
the harder it is.
Yeah. And the more true self that they see of you, you know?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But friendship is so special. Mm-hmm. I have this one friend that it's just like, when I see her, I could just jump out of my skin. And it's just this feeling that I cannot express, because there's just such a deep love that I have for this woman. Mm-hmm. Jaden, I hope you
did. Yeah,
she is just incredible. And it's because our relationship is totally found on Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, we've walked through some pretty painful times, I would say, and towards each other, I would say. I have times where I was not kind to her, and there were times she was not kind to me. I think that the beautiful part of it is that our hearts totally were just, you're open to each other. And that's just like what's so unique, and that you can be forgiving, and that it's resilient and it's genuine. And there's just a fondness that comes with just pointing each other back to Jesus. It's just unfathomable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So true. I think she texts me every week what she can be praying for me, or
I had
a praise that she wants to share with me. That's
awesome.
Completely founded in Jesus.
Yeah. It's cool because, like, we can be broken humans together.
100%.
We can still, you know, seek forgiveness and repentance. And we know that we're going to love each other because we have been shown the love of Christ. Mm. And so we can love each other then. But, yeah. Yeah, but I would say, I mean, similar things. I definitely... Just, like, when you see a good friend, like, your best friend, you're just, like, I'm known. I feel, known in this place. And, like, you just feel comfortable. You feel at home. Mm. And I think that's a gift from the Lord. I mean, I think friendship is a gift that He has given us that, I mean, that wouldn't have to be a thing, you know. But because He loves us, and we know from Scripture that we're supposed to be doing life in community. Like, it's actually a command, in the body of Christ. You should be doing that. And I mean, God gives commands because they're good for us, because that's how life works best. And so, definitely it's crucial community, I would say. And I think what can be hard sometimes is when you're in seasons of like flux between friends. Because like right now, especially in like our stage of life, like you have your high school friends, and then you have your college friends. And now like as a young professional, now it's like, you know, who's your friends gonna be? Yeah. Like, your friend, church friends. Just like, so it's hard when you're making new friends and like still staying connected with old friends, kind of.
The balance of continuing friendships and then making new friends. Oh, like, with the internet these days, like, what are you supposed to do?
Right. Yeah. It's so hard because.
And then you want to people please, so you.
Oh my.
Yes, man.
Exactly. Don't
and then,
get
like,
started on
people. So that's like where love just has to be genuine, because, like. Yeah. So quickly, I'm like, I'll, like, be your friend. And then, like, I never talk to them again.
Yeah.
Like, where is Jesus shown in that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, being so intentional with friendships is crucial.
Yeah.
Because, like, people could easily see, like, oh, they're not a good Christian. Like, Jesus isn't good because they didn't love me. Right. And it's like, yeah. I don't want Jesus' image to be harmed because I'm a bad friend.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us want to be friends with everybody.
Yes! See, that's
that the is issue. The problem.
See, that's the issue. Because, yeah, I mean, I do want to be friends with everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Genuinely. Yeah. But then, there's also wisdom principles that come in. Like, you can't. Like, yeah. You know, there's limits. So it's like, I think also just seeking the Lord in prayer of, like, who should I invest in this stage? Mm. Like, at this part of my life.
Who can I be a friend to?
Right. Because, and that's why I think my mentality so often with people when I'm in a new context and, like, I'm the new person is, like, oh, why isn't anyone, like, coming up to talk to me?
That's exactly, like, what I think.
Come and talk to me. Like, what is wrong with these people? But, like, my great-grandpa would always say, Allie's laughing because I probably said this so many times, but, like, this is another one of my favorite sayings that who knows who said it, but it's not, like, when you're in that setting in your mind, you shouldn't be thinking, not, like, here I am, someone come and talk to me. You should be thinking, there you are. Like, I want to come to you and talk to you and learn about your life and what makes you tick and why are you here and like, how are you? So it's just like, even the joy that you can get from changing your perspective from an inward one of, like, why aren't people coming to me, to, like, outward, to how can I love and serve the people that God has placed around me right now. And I think that if you have that mentality that, like, friends are gonna come, you know what I mean? It's the whole, like, be a friend to have friends. Like, your parents tell you when you're young. But, like, it is. I think it's a biblical concept, too, of just, like, being others-focused at the end of the day. And, I mean, obviously there's balance there that you should also have friends that pour into you. But
and going into a group like that, you don't have to be worried if you have that mentality.
Yeah,
like, exactly. It's not going to be awkward. It's actually going to help you.
Exactly. It's fun then. Like, it's like, oh man, I'm interested. What's your life about? You know.
Yes.
But
it's funny. I even just going to the grocery store, my husband will go, We're not going to leave without you knowing someone. I'm like, and if we do, like, I'll go make us a friend. Like, it's just like, there's just such beauty of knowing people and being known by people that it doesn't just have to be your friends.
Right.
But, yeah. It's just super sweet.
Right.
Like, there's no reason to not talk to someone. What could that conversation lead to?
Right,
like,
exactly.
The possibilities are endless.
Exactly.
Possibilities. I said that kind
totally.
Of
Totally. and I get how that can be intimidating for people, too, though.
100%.
It's like, you don't really want to just, like, go up to a random person, you know, and talk to them. But at the same time, it's like, we have nothing to hide, nothing to prove, nothing to lose.
It's always worth it.
You know, like, we are free in Christ. Like, who cares what they think about us? If you go up to them and just express genuine care and love, like, they can think you're weird. It doesn't matter. You're loving them.
Same.
So it's like, you know, I don't know. I just think, it's tricky, but.
Yeah.
Hey friends, we're going to take a quick break to talk to you a little bit about the product that sponsors our podcast, Splendor Magazine. Splendor Magazine is designed to share stories from our writers that aims to encourage women to know their true identity in Christ, empower them to use their gifts to glorify God, and equip them to make disciples in their field, all without worry or strife. This magazine is to help you on your path to finding either God's calling on your life or to help spur you on in that calling when you're facing trials. Our winter issue, which centers around the topic we're diving into of comfort and joy, is available now, and we still have some copies left to purchase. Morton Local and 430 Scones founder Renee Robeson is interviewed for our Deborah Woman feature, and Peoria Local Mo Thompson guest writes an article for our Titus 2 feature, sharing a wonderful piece called Seeking the Comforter and Source of All Joy. Our entire team shares content on how you can continue to look to God as our true comfort and finding strength in the joy of the Lord. Go to our shop and use special code DIS15, that's DIS15, to get 15% off when you order our winter issue or our quarterly subscription. Don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now, let's get back to our conversation with Macy, Gracie, and Ellie.
Thank you.
like us, because I don't think you included me, but I will include myself in terms of like wanting to make friends with everybody. Like,
yeah.
Part of my, sometimes I feel guilty because I feel really bad that I'm horrible at keeping in touch with people. Mm.
Oh, me too.
But,
me too.
You know, in those seasons,
me too.
Of, like,
me too.
All four of us.
Confirmed.
But I can't tell you how many times that people will, or even with me, like meeting a person one time, I remember our conversation and I'm like, man, she was so nice. Like,
yes.
Regardless if it goes into a deeper friendship or not, like,
yeah,
every conversation has power to to impact and
or encourage.
To encourage,
yeah,
and everything.
Definitely.
And so, you know, we are family in the body of Christ anyway, so
yeah.
Our actions and our conversations should be friendly with all of them, and so
exactly.
Regardless if we can't be good friends with everyone, we're family anyway, and
right.
You know, I always
exactly.
Think of like, man, I wonder what heaven's going to be like sometimes. So
yeah,
I'm like, man,
it's just going to be a
that's
fun
that's
going to
be a huge
party.
Joyful party.
That's
going
to be awesome.
Yeah, and we'll know everybody. We won't forget any names.
Right.
Like,
you will get to be friends with
yes.
Everyone.
Yes. Yeah, there's eternity for that.
There's eternity. All sorts of time. Friends.
Yeah, which I think is another good point too. Like, our time just gets in the way of us being able to invest more in more people. And
mm-hmm.
So, like you guys were mentioning, it's like just find out from the Lord the people that you need or want to invest in at this time, or not you, but who Jesus wants you to.
Yes.
You know,
right?
Because that's really important. Like, I even in me helping out with youth group, there's one girl that. That comes up to me and I'm like, we barely talk, but she like wants to talk to me and sit with me and all that stuff. I'm like, okay. And I'm trying, it's like almost hard for me to like make conversation, but I'm like, I must have like made some kind of impact for you. And I'm
right.
And I have to kind of train my brain of like, don't like just, you know, set her aside, like actually have more conversation
right.
with her. And I think the reason why she keeps coming up is because God's like, you need to be in
yeah.
her life.
Totally.
And sometimes that will happen too. Like, whether you want it or not, you got a
yeah.
friend. So
yeah,
that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this conversation is about joy, but also about comfort. And I feel like comfort is like, I mean, comfort and joy just sounds really Christmassy. So it's kind of why our team like chose
love
that
it.
Name. But also like, you know, I think it's just really important for us to talk about because I think that sometimes it goes hand in hand. So how do you find comfort in the Lord when maybe it's really hard for you to capture the spirit of joy? Like, where is your comfort? Where do you go to? I mean, the answer is like Jesus, obviously, but like,
right.
You know, is there scripture? Is there something that allows you to be comforted even when you're not like able to feel the emotion joy?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. So, oh man, I just feel like I should pull my Psalm 62 verse out again. I mean, definitely like verses that remind me that the Lord is, yeah, our rock and our salvation. And even Grace's favorite verse over there.
Ayo. It's on my wall.
It's on Grace's wall. And it's Psalm 73?
Yeah. Whom shall I have to fear?
Yeah. Yeah. Whom shall I fear? And the Lord is my heart, my flesh might fail,
yeah.
But God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. Sorry, did I steal that from you? Were
no,
you going to say that?
I
forgot,
so
and there is nothing on earth that I
do.
Oh,
you. No! I forgot the most important thing.
I'm really glad you shared
stanza.
That.
Yeah, and there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. So just like, yeah, I think reminding my heart that there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you, and I guess that's kind of going back to the joy thing too, but like, that's a comfort to know that, like, I was made for God. You know, I am most glorified, or whatever John Piper's quote is, like, God is most satisfied in us when, or most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just reminding myself that I was made for the Lord, and then just reflecting on, like, who He is. My mom recently came across this awesome verse in Jeremiah 9 that I never knew existed, but Jeremiah 9, like 23 through 24, I'm going to kind of paraphrase it here, but basically it's saying like, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the rich man and his riches, or, and it goes on and says other things, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So that's just a verse that's like, God is speaking those truths about himself, like that he is a God of steadfast love and justice and righteousness. And a lot of times I struggle with, you know, doubts of like, God, why would you allow this? Or why would you allow that? And maybe some people listening are struggling with, you know, doubts or just like around the Christmas season. It's a joyful time, but it can also be a hard time for a lot of people. And a hard time to just sometimes trust God's character, that he's good. And so a verse like this just reminds me that like, God delights in steadfast love. He delights in justice and he delights in righteousness. And so even though we don't understand, you know, why some things work the way they do, we know that truth from his word. And so, I guess just digging into the character of God is always a comfort.
Two verses that bring me comfort. One of my favorite verses, Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Just reminds you about the importance of life, and when you're having a trial or something's not going your way, like putting life into perspective and realizing what's important. And my other favorite verse is Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That also goes along with the same thing of what's important and putting life into perspective.
I think it's easy for me to hide behind my charisma when I'm not really feeling it. And I think I think fake happiness can be pretty harmful. And so comfort when I feel like I'm just portraying a self that I don't feel, because I think that that actually sends me into like a spiral of anxiety. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. So that's why I kind of mention it. An anxiety of, like, people don't like me, I'm not enough, just all these lies that Satan likes to whisper to me, that just, like, really, really shake me to my core. Like, I'm just, like, I'm not even worthy to be a daughter of the King. And then I just cry out to Jesus and just, like, I don't even know where to start. And so scripture, obviously, and the Psalms are amazing because they're full of just a lot of struggles and crying to the Lord, and even being really raw. And I think that that's really important in our prayers, just be like, Lord, I'm feeling very unworthy. And so I try to pick a verse for a season. That's what I just coined that term right now, actually. I don't say that, but I do pick a verse for a season. And I actually make it my password for my school so that I remember it. And so if you want to hack my ReggieNet, it is Psalm. It's Psalm 94:19.
That's actually so funny.
It's when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. And I think that that's pretty profound, that the Lord is here in my soul. I just think the word soul is very deep. It's more than just my feelings. It's more than just my head.
Yeah.
It's more than my heart. My heart, I think, can whisper lies to me as well. So that the Lord is there. He's holding my hand. He's treating me like I am worthy to be the daughter of a king.
That's
just
awesome.
a ton of comfort in that.
I think it is so good too that you can admit to God when you are in those times. I think sometimes we forget that, like, he wants to hear about that. God, I'm just like, I'm feeling really depressed right now. I'm groaning in anxiety right now, and like just saying that to him, like, is it's amazing. I mean, he wants to be welcomed into that.
And he wants
to cast our anxieties on him. And so I think being honest with God in prayer, but also another thing that's caused me a lot of comfort since we're talking about friendship, is like being honest with your friends too. And just like, when you, because as convicted when you said about fake happiness. Like, yeah. That's definitely something that I can be guilty of as well. And instead of just being real of like, no, actually today is stinks, you know? And
yeah.
Like, and actually being vulnerable with my friends, because God speaks through people. Mm-hmm. He speaks through,
he absolutely does.
You know, your mentors or your parents, your friends. And so you have to be vulnerable enough to admit that you are needing comfort. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you'll be amazed by how God speaks truth through those around you.
Yeah.
We're just quick to turn to people for comfort.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. where that can be a good thing, don't get me mm-hmm. wrong, and people bring so much comfort. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be in community. Mm-hmm. What I like to do is a nice mixture of expressing concern and complaining.
And, I was going to say, that's my thing that I like to do.
Yeah, I will say that Lucas is very much at the end of that. And then a nice little sprinkle of my anxieties are all over that nice package of meh. And so when I express this, he's like, well, have you prayed about it? And I'm like, no, I am telling you to fix it. Like, mm-hmm. Who am I to tell my husband to fix mm-hmm. something that's mm-hmm. in my heart that I've probably caused, and I'm not even turning to Jesus about it. Yeah. So I think, like, oh, man, just in moments, flipping the switch to in me, like, me, inward. I need to tell people and make sure that I word it in a way that they affirm me mm-hmm. or want to send me gifts, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's how we are. And instead just being like, God, I'm feeling unworthy, and I can only get true affirmation from you, and I am okay with that. And to say it is one thing, to believe it is another thing,
yeah.
but to repeat it is, I would say, the best thing to do. Repeat truths.
Both of you guys have kind of like talked about like fake happiness and all that stuff, and how sometimes we tend to go to people or to God more or whatever. And I think that what's interesting is that people find it hard to do both, like opening up with people or with the Lord. And part of that is actually feeling like almost like you're selfish asking for help. You know, that because I've known a lot of people where they struggle with asking for help and actually being real with the Lord outside of just like thankfulness, because they're like, I shouldn't feel this way. I should be thankful that I have a good life, that I'm X, Y, and Z. And it's like, you know, that expressing any other kind of emotion would just kind of show like ungratefulness towards the Lord or to people, or even thinking like the lie of like, I don't want to burden my friends, or you know. So right. I think that there are some people who are listening who probably feel like they can't share any part of themselves with any people group because of the selfishness aspect.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to kind of encourage those who are listening, and my single ladies and guys, you know, if you're listening, like, like, I totally get how you're feeling. I think a lot, you know, a lot of single women and men feel very lonely during this time.
Yep.
And the holiday season, because they don't have, like, a significant other to like, be able to pour their hearts out onto. And the thing is, like, if we are waiting for a person to fill that void, then we are placing someone who doesn't even exist in our life yet above God.
Right.
And our first instinct should be to run to the Lord.
Yes.
My soul waits for God alone.
Yes, and asking for help, because as you were saying, you're meant to be in relationship with Him. Why did He create Adam and Eve? And He walked with them. He communed with them. And in return, we're to worship and praise Him. But, you know, if we were to go throughout our lives without asking God for help, like, you know, I kind of mentioned this in one of my previous episodes, but it's actually like selfish not to ask for help.
Yes.
But it's a huge act of humility to ask for help. And so
it's acknowledging you can't do it yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not God. We can't do it. So, for those listening, just, you know, don't feel like you're a burden to your friends.
Right.
Don't feel like you're selfish asking for help. And as Gracie mentioned, you know, let love be genuine. You don't need to be fake. Don't share fake happiness. If you're not happy during the season, you don't need to fake it.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's just cool too, how like to picture how much God just loves when we come to Him.
Yes.
To pour out our hearts. Like he delights in that. And like, oh man, it's just awesome to think about, like, we were reading Gentle and Lowly, like, Oh yeah. At our church, and like, just to hear about, like, he just pulls out some really cool verses from scripture that just talk about God's heart for us, that his heart is one that like longs mm-hmm. to help us, that mm-hmm. longs to you know, redeem and restore, and is actually drawn to our brokenness because he wants mm-hmm. to redeem it. And so we don't have to feel ashamed of feeling a certain way or not feeling yeah. a certain way. And yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, so the name of this podcast is basically, it's called Dressed in Splendor, and it's based off of Luke 12:27. It shares how, you know, we need to trust in our Creator and mm-hmm. not worry about tomorrow, not strive after, you know, the things of this world or what we want. And I think it can also kind of apply to like comfort and joy, like mm-hmm. sometimes we're chasing after that. So in the context of that, what is like maybe one last piece of encouragement that you can give to someone, how they can be dressed in splendor and how they can attain comfort and find joy year round instead of just this Christmas holiday season?
Mm. I would say, I mean, I feel like I've been beating a dead horse, but like, get in your Bible. Yes. Like, I just meditate on, and I'm saying this to myself because yeah. like, I am so inconsistent with Bible reading. I have been. But when I just, like, muscle it out, it feels like, I've heard an analogy before, like, it feels like eating leftovers. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's nothing special all the time. Like, sometimes you have these, like, really memorable meal at this amazing restaurant, and you're like, oh, I'm going to remember that forever.
Yeah.
But then all the rest of the days, it's like, oh, I ate, like, spaghetti from Thursday, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, It sustains you, you know, it keeps you going. It's not my analogy. And so it's like, that's what it is. So like, even if you wake up every morning and you just, you know, read a psalm or read, but like, you have to be saturated in scripture or else you're not going to mm-hmm. be able to know God, and you're not going to be able to commune with him, mm-hmm. talk with him, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, I would just say, keep on eating the leftovers, you know? Even when you don't feel it.
Sometimes they're better than the first overs. Come on.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes. There's differing opinions on that.
Another topic for another day. Macy, you mentioned meditating on scripture. And one practical way I learned at a conference this year was just take a verse and, like, breathe in for 10 seconds, breathe out for 10 seconds, but split the verse in two. So, like, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Like, breathe in.
Create in me a clean heart,
and then breathe out. And, like, anytime you're frustrated during the day, so you do that in the morning, like, 5 or 10 times, and then any day you're frustrated, any time during the day you're frustrated, think of that and do it right in that moment to reset you.
Yes, right in the moment.
And that's something that has helped me. Because
you have to stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Stop listening to the thoughts in your mind. And that also isn't me. I just, because I heard that from somewhere. Everything that I say is from someone else, guys. Just like,
that's great.
Yeah. I mean, they touched on some really good things. I think recognizing that every good and perfect gift comes from above.
Mm-hmm.
And so joy and comfort are gifts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I also think I've said this before, but we can't, like, muster that out of ourselves. I think just turning to the Lord when in every moment. I even heard, like, every time you touch a doorknob, like, thank him. Every time you walk into a door, pray, like, what opportunities do you have for me through this door?
Walk into it?
That is good. I'm going to start doing that.
I'm sorry. I was just picturing someone running
through a door. Every time you walk through a door, you just, like, say, like, Lord, what opportunities do you have for me in this moment? And I think it seems, like, silly because it's like, well, I touch so many doorknobs. Like, that seems like such a burden. But really, it's just, like, focusing your mind. I just noticed. And, like, my challenge even to myself is talking relationally to the Lord throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Like, every prayer doesn't have to be this grand thing that I've built up all day for 10 minutes at night. Those are great. And I think those are necessary sometimes. Maybe all the time. But I think relational talking just keeps such a comfort. I think friends bring comfort, and I think that the Lord desires to be our friend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think viewing him as a friend, he's almighty, he's
way better than any friend. But recognizing he also wants to be your friend and talking relationally to him, mm-hmm. that's my biggest piece of advice, is mm-hmm. just realizing, like, our prayers are perfected by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So to say, oh, I, like, messed up, I need to start over. Like, there's nothing you can say that is not going to be perfected by the Lord. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. talking relationally to him shouldn't be intimidating. It's just yeah. like, yeah. Holy Spirit, take my words, make them well, send
yeah.
them up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Send them up. Send them
yep.
up.
I'm ready for the message up. To be entered.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And also, I guess, be encouraged, because it's a struggle for all. I mean, even though we seem joyful, like, it's a struggle for all of us
yeah.
to have joy
yeah.
all year long. And I hopefully that's already
yeah.
been established. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Only the Lord can
yeah.
draw us up out of the miry
yeah.
pit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't wake up feeling like this.
I mean, even as Ellie said earlier, is like, be consistent in your prayer. If you want to exhibit and have joy, pray for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, don't take for granted what prayer can do, because it really
yeah.
has transformative power. And if you want to be known as, like, one of these three ladies with
oh,
a joyful
shit.
Speech,
stop it.
Like, I feel like, just pray for that, you know? So,
yeah.
All right, Christmas time.
Fair so, time.
Oh, yeah. my gosh. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Okay.
Sorry. Is Space and Natura in this room?
Actually, yeah.
No, Ellie can sign
got
it for
cute
us.
Acoustics in here.
Yeah.
So.
Ellie's signing, you guys just don't know.
yes. Anyway, yeah, let's just bring it into something fun. You know, thank you for sharing your hearts, and we are hoping that the conversation has brought you comfort and joy through it. So, but let's get into Christmas traditions. So, is there anything that your family, like, that you guys do that's, like, very much, I was going to say each of your last names, but that's going to take too much time. So is there something that's, like, very unique to your family that you do for Christmas?
Yeah. We actually kind of special, but we have a Jesus candle in the middle of our table, and then we all have little candles.
Mm.
And then we light our candles from the Jesus candle.
Oh,
so that's like,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's kind of pretty.
My tradition is
kind of fun.
I know. I was gonna say, I'm like, I feel like we're trying to go, like, lighthearted, and that's, like,
yeah.
actually kind of
no,
cool.
That's, I love that.
But, and we also always set up the tree together. And
that's
then we,
amazing.
Well, I guess we did this when we were kids, but we would, like, sit underneath it and, like, look up into its branches.
Of course.
Which I think everyone does, but then we would listen to Adventures in Odyssey.
Oh, that's so fun.
That's nice. I actually never looked underneath the tree. Like, with the,
did you
not really?
Yeah, we would lay
you're
on
right.
the skirt.
This is the year.
This is the year.
If you're treating your apartment, Gracie, we'll all come and do
really
it.
Like,
yeah, we'll all come
I will out. Set it up ASAP. Well,
some people, like, camp by their tree.
That was me. As a child, I was, like, up at 5 a.m. waking everyone up. And that
oh,
was,
gosh,
like,
me
up
too.
Until
I,
last
no,
year.
My little brother and I, like, he would
yeah.
wake me up. And then,
yes.
like, around 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
When we were, you know, sure that Santa came.
Yes.
And we just looked to see what he brought us, you know.
Yes. yes.
So.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Speaking of Santa, this really isn't a tradition. We opened pajamas on Christmas
yes.
Eve.
That was so
I wouldn't say that's...
No, oh, wait, so do you just have a whole barrel full of pajamas?
I have so many Christmas pajamas.
My mom tried doing that 1 year, and it just didn't stick. We only did it once, and then she's like, I don't need to buy you anymore.
It's the best tradition.
We're the same
like
ones from last year.
Yeah. Like, wannabe traditions.
Yeah.
Yes. But what I was going to say about Santa is when I was in second grade, I was scared of him, so I had my dad post a sign in the yard. Santa, don't come. And I still get made fun of to this day. And now I just said it out loud.
That's how my brother Parker's afraid of Santa. Or, I mean, he was.
I'm fine now.
He's 26 now.
Good. I'm glad you got over that trauma.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, he's like crying.
Oh, Gracie? So good. Yeah. Ever since I can remember, we would go to my grandma's house and have a little white elephant on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
It is, like,
yeah.
known that all Celtics will be at my grandma's house. But when she passed away, my family was kind of like, ooh, this is a tradition that we want to continue. So we do. We still have it at our house. And it's just, like, such a hodgepodge of people, whoever
love
we
it.
Run into. And you're like,
yeah.
I think we I think both my parents just want it to be a place where if you don't have a place to go on Christmas Eve, we want to be that place.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have a place to go, bring a gift.
Here's the invite.
It's usually funny gifts.
A dress.
Yes. And then me and my siblings would all like, we would either like sleep out on the couches together or we'd all pile in one room. But now I'm married, so pray for my husband as I get very excited for Christmas and I cannot sleep. So I'm hoping this year I sleep. If I don't, he will not be sleeping either.
That's so funny.
But I'm excited for, new traditions. Yeah. And I would also like my place to be a place of comfort. Yeah. So if you don't have a place to go, we live in Morton.
Perfect. I'll be
here. And, you know, I think the one thing that we have kept tradition for is every Christmas, and it used to be my older sister before I took over because she moved to France, is we make... I make monkey bread and pizza blanket for our breakfast.
And we
only make it during Christmas. Like, we will never have it again outside of Christmas Day because it's special.
You have to make it special.
Only for Christmas.
Totally.
So, and then, you know, we always try to, like, watch White Christmas on the day of and then Holiday Inn for New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Which are both Bing Crosby movies, for those of you who are not knowledgeable in that.
I've never seen White Christmas.
Oh my gosh, I love it. But, you know, unfortunately, last year we didn't do it because everyone was getting sick of it, and I was very upset.
See, that's what happened. I have to add one more. I'm so sorry.
Go for it.
My family always watches It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, my brother does that on New Year's Eve.
And I love it. It's such a good movie. But they're starting to get sick of it, too.
I think,
like, you guys, this is
sick of the classics.
Allowed. Anyway. It is a feel-good movie.
I mean, I think we should normalize watching Christmas movies all year round. But that's also my own opinion.
Hallmark has the July. Yeah.
As long as, as well as Christmas music.
My goodness, you're
I
one
am
of those.
Very hardcore.
Actually, you know what? I feel like that Hallmark is getting really, really close to doing a year-round Christmas movie thing because they start it in October, goes until mid-January, and then they have Christmas in July. I would not be surprised if they had a Christmas Hallmark channel.
They sure have enough
of
them.
So I know they will.
Have a big
I know
pulse.
They will one day.
I really love that. I think the U.S. needs that.
But then what if it's not special, you know, for Christmas time?
But I think Jesus' birth is always special.
Oh, you got me there.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, is there speaking of Christmas movies, is there a favorite among besides It's a Wonderful Life, I guess?
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life would be mine.
Mm. Probably Elf for me.
Yes.
I know, contrary to my personality, I would probably say How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I think the Grinch, Jim Carrey version. I think he's hilarious. And it ends so happily. I mean, come on. The Community, they sing in a circle around a dead tree.
What are they singing?
Come on. I don't know the words.
That's what it is.
Oh, so glad she has a good voice. Anyway, definitely. Yes.
No, those are all classics.
Yeah. Maybe Polar Express as background music.
Polar Express always scared me as a child. The animation just creeps me out.
It creeped me out, and then now I think now with
more
adulthood,
and more people say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just always got
the
heebie-jeebies watching the Polar Express.
But now adulthood, I am brave, and I appreciate
I'm brave.
It.
Okay, see, if I went back, I might feel differently.
I think you would.
Yeah, I would say probably, for me, White Christmas, and then also another classic that I really love is Miracle on 34th Street. But not the black and white one. I have not really seen that many times, but it's the newer, older one.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, it's still old, but it's...
Yeah, it's like 90s, I think.
Mine is actually Christmas Vacation.
Yeah!
I was thinking
when he falls down the hill for, 6 years.
We do watch that every year.
Good. I love that.
So good.
Cool. Well, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
Wow, this is getting me pumped.
Yeah, no, well.
Merry Kaliki Maka.
Oh, yes. We hope that everyone has a wonderful Christmas day, and that's coming up. Christmas Eve is tomorrow and everything, and so we're just we're hoping that you are able to actually find comfort and joy no matter what you're going through right now. And we're really hoping and praying that this conversation has blessed you in any way. But ladies, for any of you who might want to share, is there any like information on how you want people to find you, if at all?
I'm on the gram. I would not say it's anything special.
Yeah, same for me. I'm on the gram, but it is not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Follow
it's
at
a
your own risk.
Yeah, it's a platform to reach out, and I think that's beautiful. But if you're looking for exciting things, you may not find it, but yeah. I'm there.
I also, you know, delete the app every now and again.
Yeah.
No, it steals my joy.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Yes.
That's another time.
If you want to see lots of beachy pictures, follow me.
Yes!
Yeah, Ellie. Oh, all the updates. I'm going to have to unfollow Ellie. Don't see beachy pictures.
Yes, definitely follow her. She'll have some really wonderful stories to tell.
Ellie.
I used to do, I mean, for those who like know me, I used to do YWAM, so I know that she's going to have a great experience. So,
oh, man.
Anyway. I will put everyone's information in the show notes, and so that's how you can find exactly where to find them. And definitely reach out if you have any questions to them. I know that they would be happy to answer them for you.
Thanks for having us, Lydia.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I'm very humbled and honored.
Yes.
I'm glad that you guys were on here. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much for tuning in, y'all. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about the comfort and joy that can be found through Christ-centered friendships, and I hope that this episode encouraged you in some way, shape, or form. With Christmas 2 days away, we hope this gets you excited to celebrate Jesus' birth, or comfort to grab hold of when this might be a difficult holiday for you. And of course, we pray that this podcast will further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life, no matter what you may go through. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor. If you'd like to give me a follow on Instagram, you can find me at The Lydia Summer. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of his children can be shared with all in order for his glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Larekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L, Kid. Thank you, Macy, Gracie, and Ellie for joining the show. And lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work. And also, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2023.